Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
The 5 p.m. hour of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. You get Colin Russo and Damian Perez. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm and ESPN South Florida. ESPN South Florida app, we're available to watch there. If you missed any of the first hour, missed any of the shows, you can go listen back in podcast format, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, just search up Russo and Rizzo. Well, Damian, let's bounce around a little bit to correct a little bit of the story that we have with Jacoby Brissett really quickly, who is going to stay as the starter until Seattle. Adam Schefter now reports that Kyler Murray and the Cardinals have consulted with multiple doctors on his foot issue and has been told that a re-injury risk is high until it's really properly healed. That could be 4 to 8 weeks. Kyler Murray now gets more time to heal his foot injury after being flirted with coming back last week. So it sounds like the injury is worse than we thought, but I don't think the Cardinals are complaining. I don't think they care that much, because they've played well with Jacoby Brissett manning the ship. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, let's do a little 5 and 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, baked ham.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number one.
So as the trade deadline has came and gone, it's reported that the Chiefs offered a 4th round pick to the Jets for running back Breece Hall, but the Jets held firm on wanting a 3rd. Breece did request a trade. Does this make the rest of the season awkward for you?
This tells you exactly what you need to know, because we talked about this. They were not going to trade him just to appease him. They had a price in mind. They had an actual specific price point in terms of what they wanted in return, and they were not going to move off it. That was probably the same thing with Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. Now, Breece Hall's a running back. Running backs are not sought after in terms of using assets to go get them. They're meant to be high-value, low-risk people. They don't want to be give up a second-rounder, give up a third-rounder. You know, the Niners did. That happens once every blue moon. But outside of that, it rarely works out. They don't want to give up a ton of assets to go get Breece Hall. Jets thought he was worth a 3rd. Chiefs thought he was worth a 4th. Nothing happened here. Good news for the NFL, for those who are rooting against the Chiefs, because Breece Hall would have helped that offense quite a bit.
Absolutely.
He would have helped that offense quite a bit, because they need just more pieces. They need more. And Mahomes has played great, and when he's not playing great, the team stinks. And he needs to play great for them to win games. With 4 losses now, that probably wouldn't... The Jets understood that they leveraged there. Hey, we don't need to trade him. You need him more than we need him. Make a move to go get him. And they called their bluff. Chiefs didn't do it. So now we're going to running it with the current Chief team on roster. But am I glad that they didn't get him? Yeah, because I don't want the Chiefs to get better. I want the Chiefs to miss the postseason. That's number one. Number two?
Number two.
Staying on the topic of the NFL trade deadline, simple. Who was your biggest winner from today's deadline?
Winners and losers. I'm staying steadfast that the Seattle Seahawks really made a great move today. Rashid Shaheed, who's one of the fastest receivers in the league, going to the Seattle Seahawks from the New Orleans Saints. That's one of the best moves of the whole day. Seattle's really good. Seattle's really dangerous. As long as Darnold stays consistent, and he was consistent last year until the postseason, all eyes are going to be on the postseason with him again if they get there. They got a great division. You got tough divisional games coming up against the Rams. You got to split those. They have an easier schedule than the Rams because of that. The second place schedule. They don't have to deal with the first team, the first place schedule like the Lions, that the Rams will have to. But Seattle's really, really good. Really dangerous. And I thought that was didn't give up a lot, but really high upside. Their offense is explosive. just got more explosive. I think Seattle's my big winner. And let's talk about a big loser really quick. What are the Dolphins doing, Damian?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, just look around, Dolphins. Look at all the teams in your division. Everybody from the Patriots to the Bills to the Jets, they've gotten better. They've made moves. And then you got the Dolphins. Just
don't really know what they want.
Limbo.
All right, are you going to trade one player, but you're not going to trade all the players? You're not going to trade the major pieces? You're not going to see if you could get a second-round pick for Jalen Waddle? You're not going to see any of that? You're not going to get rid of Bradley Chubb? I'm sure everybody was calling the Dolphins. What, they hold steady? They have an interim general manager. Chris Greer is gone. They were not willing to mix it up, get it out of there. Tells me that the Dolphins as a whole are littered with the same problem, that somehow they can make this work. Somehow that they can make this roster work. They need a fresh general manager who has the objective opinion that this is probably what we have, not going to work. They got the Chris Greer disciples. They got all the McDaniels still there. They're all thinking, just hold, crossing their fingers, we could somehow figure this out. Doesn't look like it. Chances are they're going to be gutting everything at the end of the year anyway. Do I think they needed to make a trade? No. Would have been nice to see if you could leverage some good draft selections out of it. Probably. Big loser of the deadline are the Miami Dolphins. That's number two. Number three.
Number three.
College basketball's opening day was yesterday. We had all the tip-offs from around the nation. What were your big takeaways after yesterday's tip-off? And who are a few talents we should look out for and keep in mind for the next NFL draft, NBA draft?
Now, keep this in mind. The only reason I'm happy you brought this up is because, mark my words, there are going to be several franchise-changing players in that NBA draft next year. It is a good year to be bad if you're in the NBA. There are a lot of star freshmen that are going to be all over the NBA circuits when it comes down to it. You'll hear about them. There's probably seven of them. When in a normal year where there's three, I don't want to overreact, but there might be like six or seven. Kid from Duke, there's a kid from Arizona, there's a kid from Tennessee. There's a kid from BYU, A.J. Dibanza, who got paid $7 million to go there. I saw him play last night. He plays a little bit like Jimmy Butler.
He was the number one recruit coming out of high school.
Plays a little bit like a bigger Jimmy Butler. Taller Jimmy Butler. That guy is a fully developed NBA player playing college right now. That's what it looks like.
And he chose BYU. What a landscape.
He chose. He paid a hefty.
He got enticed.
Enticed. Financially. But there are a lot of big-time players in the college circuit this year. Keep an eye out. Koa Pete. On Arizona, watch out for him.
Yeah, they actually upset the Gators last night.
Yeah, it was a good game, too. But there are so many great freshmen. There's a kid on Duke, Cameron Boozer, Carlos Boozer's son, who's playing tonight. So I'll get a feel for him. But I'm a college basketball guy. But there are a lot of great players that are going to be in this next NBA draft. It's a very good year to be poor. Very good year to be poor. Number four.
Number four.
Women's World number one Aryna Sabalenka will play Men's World number 652 Nick Kyrgios in tennis match labeled as the fourth battle of the sexes in the sport's history. The match is being organized by Evolve, the agency that represents both athletes, and will take place December 28 at the Coca-Cola Arena in Dubai. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is interesting. I don't know how I feel about this. You know, obviously, do we think this is going to be Billie Jean King knocking off Bobby Riggs in 1973? I don't know. But Aryna Sabalenka is the top women's player in the world. I mean, maybe you could say Swiatek is up there, but she's consistently around the best. Nick Kyrgios, I think they're doing it. What'd they say the number was?
652.
That's a disservice.
Yeah.
Nick Kyrgios is good.
He's been out for a while, though, right?
Yeah, he's just been hurt. He's good. He's got a great start. He's been around the. He's won seven tournaments. He's a good player. He's been to the Wimbledon final.
He's not the favorite.
That's not a fair thing to say.
A lot of people don't like him though, because of the way he carries himself on the court.
He's definitely a personality. It's the right guy to get for this type of thing. I'll tell you this.
So is Aryna though.
I'll be interested in this.
Yeah.
I'll be interested in this. I'll watch this. It's late December in Dubai, I believe.
Correct. December 28th.
December 28th. I'll watch that. I'll be into that. Now, will Kyrgios try? I mean, I got to imagine that Kyrgios is going to beat her. Serena Williams famously always said, I would lose to the 300th ranked male player. They're just stronger serves, faster serves, or quicker. She always said that famously. So I don't know how Sabalenka is going to do here, if they're going to play competitively, if it's going to be one of those things where, you know, they're taking a shot in between every set and they're, you know, it's a party and it's an exhibition. Maybe it'll be something like that. I'll watch this. Will you watch this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this, and honestly, the two that they picked, I think is a great pick. I think they're
going to have them mic'd up. Like, it's going to be a thing.
Absolutely. I'll be all over this.
Yeah, I'll watch this. And Damian likes tennis too, such as myself. But I don't know. It's a question mark. All right, will Kyrgios try? Will he be healthy? But, you know, if you wanted to get a personality, look no further than Nick Kyrgios. I like that quite a bit. Number five.
This one's a bit bizarre. Tom Brady revealed that his current dog, Junie, is a clone of his late dog, Lua, who died in December 2023. The dogs were cloned by Colossal Biosciences, a biotech company that Brady is an investor in, using blood collected prior to Lua's death. What are your thoughts?
Is this not one of the weirdest, most bizarre things you've ever seen?
It's just absolutely insane. It's insane. I have a lot of questions. Like, when you're cloning your dog, because dogs obviously have a personality, they have characteristics.
Is it the same exact dog? Do you get the dog as a puppy?
That's another great question.
What gives birth to the dog? A machine?
Now, if you are watching on YouTube or Facebook, I did put up a picture of Tom Brady with, I'm not sure if it's Lua or Junie, since they are a clone, but sure enough, it's one of the two.
You don't know which dog that is. So Tom Brady's cloning his dog. If there is not a sign that you're making too much money, look no further than you're trying to clone the family dog.
It is interesting, the part where they did mention he is an investor. Could this just be a plug in a way? An endorsement?
Endorsement to what? To clone your dog?
I mean, you're an investor. If the company does well, you do well.
But to clone your dog? Are they going to try to turn this into a thing?
What
are you going to do with the other dog?
We need to draw a line here.
If everybody's going to try cloning their dogs, what happens to the new dogs who don't have a clone attached to them?
All the dogs in the kennel?
Do they get neglected? I'm thinking about the real dog. Not the robot dog. I'm not thinking about that. That's bizarre. I don't like this at all. This is... You know when everybody gets worried about AI?
Yeah.
I get worried about this. I get worried about cloning things.
Because this is just a start. You know, you start with your dog, but now if you're Tom Brady, it was a successful operation.
Is Brady going to try to clone himself? Like, I don't understand. I don't like this at all. This is billionaire activity that I don't think Brady should have access to.
And shouldn't see the day of light. Because if he did it, okay, whatever. But don't tell the general public. Because now, I feel like it just opens up a door for just... cloning.
Are you a dog guy?
I love dogs. I love animals in general.
Yeah, did you have a dog growing up?
I do. And I still I had a dog growing up and I have a dog now.
Would you clone that dog?
See, that has sentimental value.
Why are you thinking about this?
Because all right, let me pose you this question.
How old's the dog?
7. So it's getting up there.
What type of breed?
It's a pit lab.
So those dogs, what, live 10 to 12 years old?
10, 12, depending on the shape of the dog, you know, which my dog's in great shape, so... Hopefully it makes it to 10, 12, but...
Right. That's a healthy dog's life.
I don't know. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can look the clone dog in the eye and say, you're Rocky. You're my dog. You know, you're the dog that I grew up with.
How do you check?
It's just so many questions.
How do you check? Do you just have the dog built in the lab and then all of a sudden he remembers Tom?
And I think you asked the right question. Do you get it as a puppy or is it literally like...
You get it as a puppy? Do you have to re-raise it?
It was a blood sample, so maybe I think it is something that, you know, it comes in as a puppy and grows.
Yeah, but if it just is the same blood type, how does that determine whether the dog is the same dog? Isn't that all in the brain?
So many questions.
I've had dogs. I've had two. I'm a golden retriever family, right? I don't have a dog here in West Palm, but the dogs who I grew up with... on my upbringing, two golden retrievers and a current golden doodle. The mini golden doodle is still kicking. He's like 100 years old. His name's Riley. He's a rat. You know, he's a great dog.
Very hyper dogs, right?
He's a rat. He's a rat. Like he eats poop. He's a mess.
Oh wow!
But great dog. I'm not cloning Riley. I'm not. You know, I love Riley. I love Riley. Part of the joy of having a dog. I know everybody said like. Part of it is you're the whole dog's life. What are you just going to keep pressing replay on it again? How do you know that this is the same dog? Part of it is, yes, it's a terrible thing when your dog passes away.
It's a cycle, though.
It's a cycle. That's part of it.
Yeah.
That's part of owning a dog, is you're going to raise the dog and you're going to see the dog die. That's part of it. To kind of neglect that in favor of robot dog, you're losing me. You're losing me.
And at the end of the day, you're losing me. Your dog, the dog that you grew up knowing, at the end of the day, he died.
That's
it. A clone.
Just like people. What? Like, we know people that have passed away. Are we going to clone them? No. It's the same principle. When do you sit pause? You clone dog number one, right? So Tom Brady clones his dog. Now he gets dog number two. What if he doesn't like clone dog number one? What if he loses interest in dog number one? So what? You just wait for dog two to die? And then you don't clone him again? Do you clone him a third time?
It's Lua, by the way.
Lua. So do you clone the dog? Why did he name Hunt? Why did he rename the dog?
It's a different name, too, because originally it was named Junie.
So why'd you rename the dog? Is it the same dog or not?
At that point, you should have just got a different dog.
At a set point, get a different dog. Is Tom more interested in the dog just looking exactly like
his previous
dog?
It's no longer a clone if you named it something else.
That's not a clone dog. You got another dog. You named it differently. It's the same breed. We've all done that. Damien, the more we think about this, the more ridiculous this is. This is not a cloned animal. And if it is a cloned animal, why did you change the name? I can't believe that wasn't our first question.
Well, we would have spent like half the 5 at 5 on it.
Why'd you change the name of the dog? If Tom Brady's cloning his dog, why did he change the name?
So many questions. This would be a great sit down with Tom Brady. Not ask him anything football related, anything about his legacy. Just ask him about his clone dog.
And you would not clone a dog?
I don't think I could do it.
I love my dogs.
It would just be very weird.
Be very weird. I'm okay on that. I'm
good. Extremely.
That needs to become very mainstream for me to hop on. I'm not going to be that guy. This is, my dog, Bo, who we've had for 10 years, who passed away.
This cannot be mainstream. You just mentioned it, and this cannot go mainstream.
Right.
No way.
If I see somebody 30 years later, and they still got the same dog, this is Bo. I remember Bo from 30 years ago.
Yes. I cloned him.
We cloned him. What? What do you mean you cloned him? It's the same dog. No, it's not. How do you know? Did the dog tell you this? It's the same breed. Wait, the dog's wagging his tail when he sees you? The dog wags his tail when he sees anybody. He gets excited to eat because of anybody. I don't understand. What, he responds to treat? Every dog responds to treat.
Now,
I'm not buying this, Damien. I'm not buying this.
I feel like this is all brand new. Like, this whole operation is new. What health, like down the road, what health complications is that dog going to have?
So what do you mean by that? So
you think it
carries over?
I mean, I don't know.
But it seems like it's flesh, right?
I would hope it's flesh. What do you think? It's like a hologram?
No, I mean, like, it's not robotic.
No. No, it was a DNA sample that they took from Junie before she died.
Junie. Stop saying their names. Junie's the first dog or the second dog?
The first dog, the original clone.
I don't recognize Lua. I recognize Junie. Junie's old fashioned.
Junie's the OG, yes.
Junie's old fashioned. Lua, I don't trust. I don't trust Lua. Lua's going to get a mind of her own one day and start cloning herself. I don't like this. This is billionaire activity. People should not have access to doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This can never go mainstream.
We're good. Part of the experience of owning a dog is losing the dog.
And grieving once it's lost.
And I hate to say that, but that's part of the game. It's part of the game. Can't keep cloning dogs. Can't do that. There's already too many dogs out there. We're going to overpopulate dogs. There's already dogs all over the world that are, you know, strays and running around. We don't need to clone the same dog.
They're in shelters. They've been waiting for their opportunity, and now we're going to start cloning
dogs.
I'd
be pissed if I was a dog.
Yeah.
And I started realizing, hold on a second. Like, you're waiting to get called up. This is like the minor leagues. You're waiting to get called up and, you know, okay, well, they lost their family dog.
Like AI.
They're getting a new one. Yeah.
It's like replacing humans
it's
with AI.
It's taking jobs. It's taking jobs. Damien, we're onto something here. Wow. Colin Russo, Damien Perez, 888-760-3776. Would you clone your dog? Is that unethical to clone your dog? Is Tom Brady wrong to clone his dog? Let us know. 888-760-3776. Colin Russo, Damien Perez, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. I'm only human, yo. I'm only human, yo. Can you hit me? I'm only human, yo.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
If you're going to be Tom Brady and you're going to clone your dog, a couple rules. You can't rename the dog. Can't do that. That's not fair. Because is it a different dog or isn't it? If it is a different dog, then give it a different name. How about you buy a new dog? Why clone it? And if it's a different dog, why'd you change the name? So, Tom Brady cannot clone his dog and call it this a different name. It's not fair. Is it the same dog or is it not? Tom. Same dog or is it not? Nonetheless. Colin Russo, Damian Perez, Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Tom Brady cloned his dog. Is that ethical or unethical? 888-760-3776. Would you clone your dog? I would not. Damian Perez is sort of on the fence, but leaning no.
No. I wouldn't be able to just look at the new, cloned dog in its eyes and just say, you're the dog I always knew. It would just be so weird.
Yeah, I agree. Because then you can't, and even if it was the same name, you can't sit there. You're not what he was. Yeah. You're not
that
what he was.
That dog would live with the burden that it would always have to live up to the expectations of the cloned dog.
Yeah.
It's not a good spot.
Not a good spot. Not a fan of that whatsoever. I know Brady's probably plugging something, a service or a business or something, but nonetheless, nobody should be planning cloning dogs. Live here at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. MLB had a huge weekend, Damian. World Series, 30 million people at a peak. Canada, 11 million people watched that. Japan, probably over 10 million as well. Still have 50-plus million people watching it. Domestically, though, it was the highest it did well, better than the national championship from last year and the year before for college football. It did better than basically everything outside of the Olympics and the NFL.
Wow.
In American TV watching viewership. That was what the World Series Game 7 did on Saturday night. Let me pose the question for you. Has the MLB, because the numbers do back it up in some capacity, has the MLB established themselves as the second biggest league in American sports?
I don't think they're there yet, but they're on the trajectory. And the only reason I say they're not is just based off star power.
Well, they were, 25 years ago they were. 30 years ago when it was the Yankees in the 90s. That was when baseball was at its peak. And baseball had a ton of viewership, especially through those early 2000s. But you're right. Baseball fell off a little bit. People were not getting interested as much. The attention spans, the slow game, the marketing of stars. It's been a different game ever since social media really came about. But you don't think it's the second biggest league in favor of what?
Stars. The NBA has the star power where you can look at names and just if you're just a casual, an average person, you'll recognize a LeBron James, a Kyrie Irving, maybe a Kawhi Leonard. But if you look at the MLB rosters, now, while I still think watching an MLB game in today's day and age, if I'm going to watch either a regular season MLB or regular season NBA, it's probably going to be the MLB. From an interest, looking at the actual art form of the sport, I think I got to go with MLB because the NBA regular season is just so watered down. And until they do something about that, I don't know if it's shortening the league. I don't know what the solution for that is. But these blowouts have got to stop in the NBA. Now, the season just started, so maybe it could be different. But last year, I feel like we saw a lot of games where they were basically over before halftime.
Yeah, the last time the NBA had a 20-plus million viewership was 2017, that first year that Durant joined the Warriors. That was the last time that they had a 20-plus million viewership. And the last time that they had 30 million was that famous Game 7 in 2016, which is one of the best NBA games of all time. And that basically close to 10 years since, they have not come close to those numbers. I'd make the argument that to the American fan who wants to watch a game, not follow, watch a game, I would say that baseball has more of a pull than basketball
does. I agree with that.
I think that MLB has more of a pull than the NBA does.
It's more competitive.
The playoff, I think the structure is fantastic. The NBA playoff is 2.5 months long. Yeah. The MLB postseason is done in 3.5 weeks. I would say that lends itself to, spikes. People are interested. And I think the MLB's been lucky that they've had the biggest superstar that they've seen probably this century, Shohei Ohtani, in the World Series for 2 straight years. You got to acknowledge stuff like this. But I would say that things that the MLB has made efforts to change, they have included more of an international
preference. They've
done
everything right, honestly.
They did the pitch clock. They shortened the game in person. They shortened the game. They've made big things feel big. They've promoted offense. They've made the bags bigger. They've made the amount of times you could throw to first base on a trying to pick a guy off. You've lessened that.
It's more
to
the point, in a
it's
sense.
There's more offense. There's more to watch. And there's more excitement. I also think baseball at its best. I'm biased. I think baseball is fantastic. But I sit here and say my favorite thing to watch is college basketball. So I'm not sitting here as a baseball homer, anti-NBA. I love college basketball more than I like the MLB.
But that's for the competitiveness of college basketball.
Sit here and say in terms of popularity of the league, there is a real argument that the MLB is number two. Football is king. College football consistently is a lot better than baseball because they are once a week. It's once a week. NFL is once a week. It's hard to compare. It really is. I would group football into one.
Yeah, there's too much anticipation for the NFL.
I would say the MLB has got a little bit more pull than basketball right now. In terms of popularity of the stars, global influence, the NBA has China, which is a ton of basketball fans, a little different. I think that with the influence of knowing who the athletes are, yes, NBA has reigned supreme in that quite a while now, for quite a while. But I think they also, the NBA athletes are more popular than the NFL athletes.
Yeah.
But the NFL is a bigger league.
Make bigger contracts, too.
Bigger contracts, bigger league in the NFL. Now, the NBA makes plenty of money, but if I were to rank it in terms of there's a huge game, huge football game,
appeal.
Huge baseball game, huge hockey game, huge NBA, all professionally, it would go football, baseball, basketball, hockey. That would be the order, in my opinion, of the four major United States sports.
Hockey's another one. They're at least the playoffs. The NHL playoffs are like...
fantastic, but in terms
insane.
Of... domestic, countrywide appeal, it doesn't appeal to the fan nearly as much because it's a regional sport.
Right.
The NHL never gets lucky with a huge market being great at one time. You know, they don't get LA and the big markets. It's a little different with baseball.
There's more parity.
There's more parity and there's a more bigger disparity amongst the teams in the MLB because it's big market for small market. But if I had to rank it, I don't think I'm wrong here. NFL, if you're going to watch a big game, as a sports fan, you're trying to watch a big game. All right, there's a huge playoff game on a Saturday night. Precedence? NFL, MLB at number two, NBA at number three, NHL at number four. Global social media popularity of the league? Yeah, NBA's got just about everybody beat. But people like to follow the NBA. They don't love to watch the NBA.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
They like to follow it. Mm-hmm. It's easy to follow. You follow the stats, see what's going on. Oh, Giannis had 50 points last night and had a game winner against the Pacers. I didn't get to watch that game.
Right.
But you can follow it because recognizable stars, athletes, it's a little different. So it's hard to compare. But there was a game 7 in the NBA Finals just, 5 months ago, 4 months ago. Did 16 million. That's the way I view it. I know television numbers can be a little outdated, but if you want to gauge popularity, There's a good metric. Baseball might have NBA beat, and I don't think that's unfair to say. 888-760-3776. The MLB solidified itself as the second biggest sports league in the United States. Or am I dead wrong here? Is it still the NBA? Has it always been the NBA? Am I off target? Let me know. 888-760-3776. Colin Russo and Damon Preston. You think basketball is ever going to inch back into this argument a little bit in terms of global appeal? Do you think the basketball, what do you think it is? You need to get luckier with stars being in the biggest moments?
I think it's tough because we're looking at an era in the NBA where they're about to lose LeBron James. You know, that's probably a huge name that carries a lot of value when we're talking about popularity and name brand in the NBA. So I'm curious to see, that's one of the things the NBA has been kind of struggling and trying really hard is to find that next star. And I don't think they have. So you asked,
the thing is, it hasn't been nearly as popular in the finals, in the playoffs. Playoffs they were good last year in terms of the ratings, but when the finals get there, LeBron did draw the biggest crowd. 2016 was the best series that they've had in years, and that was LeBron and Curry, the two biggest stars.
And that's another one, Steph Curry. Towards the end.
And I do think that's we talked about the face of the league stuff a lot, of that next big marketable star. I don't know, I think the NBA is sort of looking for that. MLB's lucky that they got Judge in New York and Ohtani in L.A. They're very lucky about that. And they were lucky that they had Toronto, which was, represents an entire country.
That those players actually care to be the face. Because I feel like in the NBA, you have players like Jokic, but I don't think he wants to be the face of the league.
No, right. And there's a global appeal that doesn't necessarily attach itself to Jokic. And you can't sit here and say that, oh, the American fan does not necessarily resonate too much with, you know, the international player. Because look what baseball has done with Ohtani.
Exactly. Exactly.
Look what baseball has done with Ohtani. Look what Messi has done inserting soccer into the United States culture with that over down here in Inter Miami. It's not about an international player. I think it's about how that player presents their stardom. And Ohtani doesn't even speak English. We tried to break it down yesterday. Ohtani speaks English, but he doesn't. And he's still a huge star. Obviously, it's due to the fact that he's just as good as he is. But I think there's a real argument that basketball's got a little bit of an identity crisis because they don't know who to hitch their wagon to. And I think that's why baseball, at this point in time, MLB has reigned supreme over the NBA. And I'm not carrying water for the MLB. I'm not. MLB has its issues. I think it needs a salary cap. I think fundamentally there's a problem with that. And I like the NBA playoffs. I love the NBA playoffs. But those are the numbers. Baseball had a huge weekend. NBA hasn't had anything like that in over a decade. That would be my
argument. You can even say the MLB kind of had a good 2025 in general.
They've had a good 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years, right? So because of that, I would say just keep an eye out because clearly the American fan still resonates with baseball. Everybody loves saying baseball's dead. Oh, baseball's dead. Baseball's dead. It's not dead.
No, and that's to that point, I think if we're comparing the trajectories, the NBA and the MLB right now today, one's clearly going up, that's the MLB, and the other one is kind of, you know, struggling there.
You don't know what, you don't know what direction they're going. They're sort of at a lineation. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Good days, bad days. Now they got the gambling scandal, which has sort of went under the rug. But now they get the Kawhi Leonard thing. Scandals left and right. Baseball, it's not like they haven't dealt with scandals before, but it's the NBA's turn. They're dealing with it. Damian Perez, Colin Russo. You want to go to the Stewart Air Show this weekend? Because you got an opportunity right now to win 4 tickets to the Stewart Air Show 2025. It returns to Witham Field up there in Martin County, November 7th through November 9th, 2025. That's 3 days of high-flying excitement on the Treasure Coast. You could do a whole lot. One of the largest annual events on the Treasure Coast that draws families, veterans, aviation enthusiasts. It's a huge tradition honoring our military past and present for Veterans Day. It's fun for all ages. They got aerobatics, military jets, historic aircrafts, food vendors, and a dedicated kids zone too. So it's something for the whole family. You could go check it out today and see the F-45 Lightning II demo team. You could see America's most advanced fighter jet. It's going to be there. The FA-18 West Coast demo team, you're going to see some real Navy power. I love planes. You saw Top Gun. I love planes. That's where you go and see some planes, see some aviation, and see the real fun over at the Stewart Air Show, one of the best events right here in South Florida. Get tickets now. 4 tickets available. You know what we'll do? Because the NBA is number 3. Caller number 3 will get it. 888-760-3776. Number gained to the program. Call in. Caller number 3 gets 4 tickets this weekend, which you could use Friday or Saturday or Sunday. You can use it any day of the weekend. Just got to use it once. The Stewart Air Show 2025. You can get tickets at stewartairshow.com or just call in 888-760-3776. Caller number 3 gets 4 tickets to the Stewart Air Show this weekend. 888-760-3776. 3776, Colin Russo, Damian Perez, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Hey,
Shot, I know you be hearing this and that from here and there, but please trust and believe, little mama. I see you gonna ride for me some.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Big congrats to Randy in Martin County for taking home the 4 tickets to the Stewart Air Show this weekend. We'll be giving out tickets all throughout the week right here on these very airwaves and on our socials at ESPN West Palm, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So stay tuned there throughout the week. Get your opportunity to get some air show tickets. Damien, have you been to this air show?
I have not, but I heard it's amazing.
You're right. I've been to an air show once in Wisconsin. It was a smaller tier one, though. So it was only a couple acrobatic planes. But this one of the biggest ones in the area.
I heard they have the that big B-2 stealth bomber, the one that is basically undetectable.
Yeah, that's the one they used in that thing. They used in that raid a couple months ago.
Correct. So that will actually be there. So, yeah, it's honestly sounds amazing.
Wow. I didn't hear about that. That's interesting. Oh, yeah, the Super Fortress. Wow. One of only two flying in the world, the B-29 Super Fortress.
And it'll be down here in Stuart. That's amazing.
Only one of two flying in the world. Are you like that with anything? Planes, trains, cars? I'm like that with planes, not trains or cars.
Like they just blow your mind?
Yeah, you just like get fascinated by it.
I mean, I can be right there with every time I board a plane, I try not to think too much about it, but I ask myself, like, how does it work?
So, yeah, I get down the rabbit hole with, my dad gave me this, unfortunately, with airlines, airports, travel schedules. So, like, I'm good about that type of thing. I'm always curious to see what type of plane you're on, where the plane was before, where the pilots are going after that, how many planes they'll go today. Let's say, for example, I was talking to one of our friends, Mitchell Dukes, with Delta Airlines, and he was telling me how Austin, the airport at Austin, and we were talking at the Boca Bowl Golf Outing, which was a couple weeks ago, and I was asking him about Austin Airline or the Austin International Airport. And he was telling me about how Delta is starting to get a little bit of a hub there. And I was breaking down with him the nonstops that Austin is starting to offer and why they're not going here. Why do you only have one Denver a day? Why do you, like that type of thing? I don't know. It just fascinates me.
I feel like that job is very, very hard. It's very tedious. Like it's just, I think it's just like you look at a map of all the planes taking off, like for example, Houston, and it's just insane. It looks like a big knotted ball.
And I don't know. I just get into the airport stuff. I get into the airline stuff. Now the Stuart Air Show stuff, maybe I'll have to get down there and go see it. I think I will. Go see some airplanes. Who doesn't like seeing an airplane? After Top Gun came out a couple years ago, that was when everybody was the mustache, the aviators, fighter pilots. I don't know if there was a more...
A popular Halloween choice.
Yeah. There's not a more trendy type of profession that you could take in. Wow. All right, I'll be into that. That's interesting. Go see some F-18s, F-35s, right there at the Treasure Coast, Stuart Air Show 2025. Go get tickets today if you'd like at stuartairshow.com. All includes veterans and first responder discounts, general admission, you name it, they got it. Now, do you think that anything could ever, in terms of the ranking of the biggest sports leagues in the United States? I think Damian and I were sort of on the same page that by popularity, it probably goes NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL.
Yep.
But in terms of what people watch and actually tuning in to watch a game, appeal, all right, we're sitting down for the game, interest in the league itself, NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Yeah. NFL's the top probably at both. Do you think that anything will ever come to challenge that?
No, I honestly don't. I don't.
You don't see a path.
I don't see it. It's just the NFL is just such a proven product. I mean,
it's a greedy product because they don't stop.
Yeah.
They want to control the offseason. They want to control the in-season. They want to control the holidays.
And they do a good job with their narratives, too.
They control a day of the week. Yeah. No other sport will ever be able to say that. They control a day of the week for 5 months a year. On Sunday.
But other sports also don't have the luxury of kind of making their fan base wait an entire week. I know they sprinkle a few games on Monday and Thursday, but generally the bulk of the schedule is all on Sunday. So if you're a fan of the NFL, you're waiting all week for that Sunday. And in between, you got the narratives from, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, the Seahawks, this and that. That's where I feel like the NFL does a good job, too.
Shouldn't it, in theory, almost work opposite of that because of the attention spans attached to how people consume their sports nowadays? They can't even sit through a game, and you'd think that people would be itching. I don't, but I'm just thinking about the next generation of fan. They want to see the next thing now. They want it now, immediate. They don't want to wait a week. They don't want to wait 6 months. But the NFL has been immune to that.
Yeah.
They've been immune to the fact that, why are we waiting? So the NBA playoffs is a great example of this. The NHL playoffs takes 2 months. People are sitting there, oh my gosh, call me when the conference finals start.
It's also
a month and a half. You don't have that with the NFL.
It's also a very condensed product in the sense that there's only 16, 17, what is it? What are we at? 18 weeks?
Yeah, 18 total weeks.
So there's 18 total weeks. That week three means so much if we're comparing it to, I don't know, NBA's week 18, for example. It's just every week is do or die for these teams in a win or a loss. has so much implications.
That's why the MLB has done really well the last couple of years. The postseason is so consequential. Every game means something. NBA, the goal is in a best of seven series in the first round.
Win your home games.
You want to win your home games, get out of there in five.
Yep.
Get out of there in five. All right. And if you're a higher seed, and the problem is, it was a little different this past year with the Pacers making their runs. 9 times out of 10, we could probably tell you who the teams in the finals are going to be.
Yeah.
That's a month and a half in advance. You can't do that in baseball, which is why I do think that there is a more intuitive, natural interest in the games themselves because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right, the parity.
You don't know what's going to happen. Now, basketball has its moments. You know, Game 7, Thunder, Pacers, it's not huge markets, but nobody knew what was going to happen.
And also, I feel like they kind of just took turns just blowing each other out. One game would kind of just, one team would take the night off because they knew they had to travel, and they knew that all they had to do was win those home games. So we saw games in the finals, for example, where Indianapolis just absolutely, the game was over by halftime.
It's consequential. The best sporting leagues in this day and age are the ones that are consequential. That's why the baseball regular season doesn't do too well. It's 162 games. That's just for the marathon of it. But once you get to the postseason, consequential games.
Right.
The wild card series, you have two bad days, boom, you're out.
Right.
You get to the divisional series. But
or even a
bad Monday through Thursday, you're going home.
Even to add to that, I mean, one game in the MLB postseason, if you have to rotate your bullpen, now you're looking at a shorter bullpen for your next
game. And each game has a different feel because you have to strategize. You're not having the same five guys go out there. I know we're talking about the differences of the sports here, but I'm just trying to put a thought process behind why I think baseball has resonated with the American sports fan more so than the NBA has.
I think that's a
conclusion you could draw based on how well the World Series did versus how well the finals do.
Yeah, and to that point, I mean, there was a game this playoff run for in the MLB where it was the Mariners versus the Blue Jays where it went to like inning 18.
It was the Tigers-Mariners game five.
That was the game. We were watching it right here and we were questioning ourselves, are the Mariners just going to throw away their next game because they had to rotate the bullpen? Sure enough, they won the game.
Yep. That's exactly right. So I do think that's always an interesting conversation to understand the nuances of that. But I do think that's the trend. You can't sit here and tell me that people don't resonate with baseball anymore. You can't. Not after what we saw. Now, the real test is, you know, Texas Rangers played the Diamondbacks 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and it stunk. It did terrible. Nobody had interest in it. It was a bad series, too. Let's really get a test and see if there's no Shohei Ohtani in play,
yeah,
how much people will watch. So that's something else you got to add to the.
And last year you had the Yankees.
And last year you had the Yankees. This year you had a Canadian team. So it adds to the element of it. But hey, the American sports fans still watched and they hated the Dodgers. And the Toronto Blue Jays were a little different because the Toronto Blue Jays were a Canadian team that didn't resonate with a lot of American audiences. It still worked. NBA is third. They are number three. How about that? I think we're getting to the point. Popularity.
Name
NBA.
Brand.
NBA.
But that's close to an end, though, because LeBron James is about to retire. You got Steph Curry, who's about to retire. I know you got players like Cooper Flagg, who are, quote-unquote,
yeah,
the next era. But
Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about it in the regular season of the NBA. It's too long, too much time between games, and they don't have that next huge.
Now, it could be Wemby.
Bigger than life star.
I could see it being Wemby.
Well, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The last point I want to make before we close out the show here is this will be the real litmus test. This NBA season, the next 2-3 years here, it'll be the real measuring stick of whether audiences, American audiences, the NBA fan can resonate with an international star. If they do not resonate with what Wembanyama is doing, what he does, how he carries himself, he's a likable player, he's around. He's a freak of nature.
He's bought in, too.
He's bought in. He's a great player to watch. He's a fun player to watch. He's young. He checks all the boxes. If they can't resonate with him, seems to care about the future of the NBA. If they can't resonate with him, the American fan never will. The American fan never will resonate with an international star if they can't do it to Wembanyama. That's the last thing there. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
They didn't resonate with Jokic. Even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's a Canadian. It doesn't have the same pull, and I just don't think people like the style of play.
Shai's another one. Shai has absolutely bought into the NBA and being, I guess, the quote-unquote face. I think if it were up to him, he would take on that role.
Right, but I don't think the fan doesn't resonate with it. Nope. They don't resonate. And Wembanyama is the final litmus test. Because if it doesn't, then it has to be an American-born star. It has to be somebody like LeBron or Curry that is from the States, that is a little, I'm not going to say a little bit more relatable, but that can resonate with American artists. I think Wembanyama is awesome. I would take him over maybe anybody in the league if I was starting a team for 5 years. If he doesn't resonate, the NBA is going to have to find somebody who does resonate internally from the United States. And that's just the truth. I'm not saying they should, but we'll see if the audience resonate, because Wembanyama is the biggest thing the NBA has seen in decades in terms of just crazy, unbelievable level of play. So we'll see. That's the real next question. Baseball doesn't have that question because they just had Shohei Ohtani take over the league. And he doesn't even speak English in the postgame.
And he's in his peak.
And he does not even speak English in the postgame. Wembanyama does. So we'll see if he can become larger than life. If he can, NBA's got a good next star on their hands. That's Damian Perez. Appreciate him keeping us up over the airways today. Go down on the ESPN South Florida app, download on the App Store today, where you can listen to Russo and Rizzo, theoretically speaking. You can listen to all of our great local programming in one spot, as well as Inter-Miami English and Spanish. They got Nashville. Is it this Saturday?
Yes, correct.
Nashville's this Saturday. Win or go home. Big spot there. That's all on the ESPN South Florida app. Download it today. This has been Colin Russo saying so long. We'll see you again tomorrow. Same time as always. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.